Wednesday night that I almost felt like when I came to the pulpit Wednesday night I should introduce myself. We have been gone so long and so often, it seems. That was not predetermined by us, but by circumstances in our life. And we're glad that I really do believe that Bethel Baptist Church stood up a number of times in the last little while. About Easter time, when we had the Lord's Supper, stood up. I was quarantined that week and had to stay at the house, and don't understand that, except we saw good things come from that. And you know, if we don't press the Lord too much, and we give Him liberty to work in our life as He sees fit, we get down the road claiming the promise that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. As we claim that, even though we don't understand what's happening, our claiming that promise tells the Lord we believe Him, and then He works it all out. And sometimes He shows us, sometimes it's just plain, you know, just as plain as the nose on my face what God's doing. Sometimes He says maybe later, sometimes He doesn't show us at all, but we just trust Him. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad that God gave me a message, wanted me to deliver it to you today, and I'm glad you're here to receive it. So let me invite you today to go in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 44. Psalms chapter 44. And then while you're turning, you might want to turn to the book of Lamentations, chapter number 3. Lamentations, chapter number 3. I know it's in my Bible. I know it's in my Bible. Lamentations, chapter 3. And someone cleaned the desk out. Aha. No, they didn't. They just rearranged things. Praise the Lord. Get me a bookmarker so we won't have to look at that. All right. When it seems that the Lord has forgotten. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where it seemed that the Lord had forgotten you. It seemed that your prayers were not being answered. It seemed that your desires were not being fulfilled. It seemed as though the right things you did turned up bad results, it seemed. And you're wondering what to do. How can I get out of this turmoil? How can I get out of this twister that's trying to take me out of life of serving the Lord Jesus? What can I do? I believe the Bible covers that. The chapter that we're looking at here, chapter 44, begins with the praises to the Lord by the descendants of those that had been blessed by the Lord. So we have the testimony of how our forefathers were blessed by the Lord and understood that it was His blessings upon them that prospered them, and not their own works of righteousness. It was the goodness of the Lord. As we read down through this portion of Scripture, we'll find in verse number 23, the Bible says, they say to the Lord, "Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever." And yet we find in their complaining of the Lord that He is asleep, we find the Bible has already told us in Psalms 121 and verse number 3, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." In the next verses, they accuse Him of having forgotten. In verse number 24, they say, "Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our afflictions and our oppression?" And in the book of Isaiah chapter 49, beginning in verse number 15, the Bible says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, Yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Here the Lord Jesus simply says, if I were to try to forget, if for some reason I wanted to forget, every time I looked at my hands, I would see the name of all those people that have put their faith and their confidence in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here the Bible simply says, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. No, God's not going to forget. But sometimes it seems like He has. As we look at this portion of Scripture today, I want to begin reading in about verse number 9, because they have bragged on Him and bragged on Him and bragged on Him. But notice in verse number 9, the Bible says, but Thou hast cast us off. They're talking to the Lord. But Thou hast cast us off and put us to shame and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger, all this is come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. And now if you will drop over to the book of Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations chapter number 3. Here we find that the great preacher, the weeping prophet, Jeremiah, pins down these words, and they were penned by the inspiration of God. And they'll be here when Pike's Peak is run into the Mississippi River and is no more. They'll be here when the stars have fallen out of heaven and are no more lighting the night sky. They'll be here forever and ever and always, for God's word is promised that it'll be here forever. And he writes these words, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into the darkness but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his head, a hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness and hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. When I recall to my mind This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And we'll stop our reading there and go back to Psalms chapter number 44. In verse number 26, the Bible simply says, arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. And so we need to understand today, when it seems like the Lord has forgotten us, even great men, the great Jeremiah, looked at a time when he said, God, it just seemed like wasn't anywhere close to me, and turned his back on me and wasn't hearing my prayers. And he talked about putting stones in his way, but not just stones. He said, God hewed those stones. God molded, God formed those stones and placed them in my way and caused me to walk in bad paths. So we find here the Bible testifies that there have been time when great men thought that God had forgotten them. They act as if they believe God had failed them, as if he had not heard or especially had not answered their prayers. Now let me say to you today, someone says, well, Brother Sutton, all the verses you read were Old Testament verses. Are they really for us today? I submit to you they are, for it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11, now all these things happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In our text, I see there's two groups here that are complaining. First off, there's the group of individuals, and I know that there are a number of individual people, because the pronoun I and me and my are used to describe the persons that are speaking. And then there's groups of collective people, for the pronouns we, us, and our are used to denote what's going on and to note who it is that's saying those things. And so we find that this is an individual saying. It's also collective people talking. Now remember, when we look at this portion of Scripture, we need to understand a truth that is highlighted to us in verse number 21. The Bible says, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Sometimes we live like God has disgraced us. Sometimes we live like God has turned his back upon us. And if we really would search our hearts, if we really would agree with the Holy Ghost of God's conviction upon our lives, we would know that there's some secret thing that we're holding on to, as if we thought God didn't know, and we can blame him for what's going on. My friend, it's a fool that blames God for doing wickedness. It's a foolish thing to do, and yet we find ourselves doing that. Now, we need to understand something. When you believe something, whether it's true or not, if you really believe it, you're going to respond in accordance. So if you really believe that God isn't listening to you, if you really believe that God has no affection for you, if you really believe that God has no will for your life, then you're going to respond like that. And in responding like that, you're probably going to do things that as a child of God, you're going to wish you hadn't have done. Because God does care. Someone says, how do you know God cares? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's how I know God cares. God gave him who knew no sin to be made sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, I know God cares. Sometimes there's allowed a cloud to be pulled between us and him. And sometimes, even like Jesus, it seems that God has turned his back on us. We need to understand, though, that we have a responsibility to be honest with the Lord and ask him if there's something in our heart. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if there's some pet sin, if there's something that you'd be just ashamed, you know, every once in a while we'll pull down this thing. Last week we pulled it down, and Brother Charlie showed us some things, some faces of some people in Tuvalu that he had reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and others that he was discipling that had been won to the Lord in Fiji and had moved back to home to Tuvalu. And as he showed those things, I was wondering then, and I wonder now, what would we do today if God pulled down that sheet And God took the secrets of our hearts and says, hey, listen, you think nobody knows. You think everybody's dumb. You think the preacher's dumb. Yeah, you think this person's dumb. My spouse is dumb. My kids are dumb. My parents are dumb. But I want to show you what I know. And God pulled it down and showed the world the secrets of our hearts. Do you know God could do that? We can't hide something from Him. Listen, He knows how many, He not only knows how many hairs have fallen from my balding head, He knows which ones. He knows if it was number one or number 101 or number 10,001. He knows the very number of the hairs that have fallen from my head. He knows every time a sparrow falls. He knows our hearts. He knows the intents of our hearts. And we can't hide it from Him. Oh, you might hide it from people for a while, but you're not going to hide it from Him. And today I think that we need to be honest with ourselves, and if things aren't going right, it seems like God has closed His eyes and closed His ears to us. We need to pray and say, search my heart, O God, and know me, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the paths eternal. We need to pray to God and ask God to search our hearts. Now, if we've done that, and it still seems like heaven is brass, and our hearts are clean, and we can't figure out what's going on, what do we do? What do we do? Verse number 4 of our text gives us a thought. It says, Thou art my King, O God. I think we need to come to a place every now and then where we just get alone with God and we reestablish His position willfully as the King of our life. The songwriter said, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Oh, how we need to understand that Jesus Christ has died and rose again to be the King of our life. I love the song, Now I Belong to Jesus, my very favorite song in all the world. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. And I know that. And when it seems like heaven is silent and no prayers are getting through, it just seems like nothing's really happening. I remember Daniel praying, and he prayed and prayed and prayed, and it didn't seem like the answer was coming. And finally God sent an archangel to come and talk to Daniel and apologize for taking so long to answer his prayers. Oh, listen, we need to understand that we need to crown God the King of our life. I remember the hour. I remember the time. I remember the place. I remember the happening. I remember the Bible verses. I remember the man. I remember my wife sitting across the table from me. I remember the day that I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus. And He changed everything about my life. Changed my desires. Changed my wants. Changed my drive. Changed my position. Changed my eternal destiny. The day Jesus came into my heart. No ifs. No ands. No buts about it. I can look back to that day at 317 Smith Street at the corner of my kitchen table when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it seems like heaven isn't answering and I can't get through, one of the things I try to do is to re-emphasize the fact that He's my King. Now, if He is my sovereign, that means He's my Lord. That means He's my boss. That means I don't tell Him what to do. I readily agree when He tells me what to do. He's my King. Is He your King? You see, we need an absolute declaration of who is King. Let me ask you a question today. Who is ruling your life? Let me say this to you also. If the Lord Jesus isn't ruling your life, someone else is ruining your life, making it less than what it could be for the cause of Christ. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to know that the King of the universe owns you, lock, stock, and barrel, hook, line, and sinker. Every bit of you, the good parts, the bad parts, the in-between parts, He owns it all if He's your Savior. And we ought to Declare that once in a while. Declare it to our own hearts. Maybe walk around the house and just remind ourselves, God is mine and I am His. And I know the day I gave myself to Him. And I'm so thankful that I belong to Him. Oh, how we need to recertify the fact that Thou art my King. And then in verse number 5, he says, through Thee will we push down our enemies. Through Thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. So here we find we need to resubmit ourselves to His leadership. You know, I've not had a lot to do with sheep. My dad usually had a few sheep around and he'd put them in places. He didn't like goats because my mama said they stank. But he'd get sheep and he'd put them in places where nothing else could graze, and he didn't want to have to take the time to clean up places of grass and weeds and one thing or another. He'd put them in there, pin them off in there, and they'd do the mowing for him and so forth. And then later on in the year, he'd sell those lambs as sheep and make a little bit of money on them. But I know this about sheep. I know that they keep wandering out a little further and a little further and a little further. And if you let them go, if you don't keep tabs on them, it's not very long before they go out so far they can't find their way back. Sometimes God's people are that way. The Bible testifies that because judgment against an evil work is not executed immediately. And I forget how the rest of the verse goes exactly, but the idea is because God doesn't smack you down when you the first time you do something wrong, we get the idea God doesn't care. And we can get away with it. Let me tell you, nobody ever got away with sin. Nobody, much less a child of God. And so we need to understand that we need to, every once in a while, we need to just check in and just resubmit ourselves to the Lord. And then he says, through thee, we're going to do this. Through thee, we're going to have victories. Not through me. Through thee, Lord, we're going to have these victories. And God simply agrees with that. And he says, and through thy name. There is a name I long to hear. I love to sing its worth. It is the sweetest name I know. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Because we believe that Jesus sent us to request a certain thing of the Lord. Take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. As we think about conquering in Jesus' name and remembering when things get rough and things get tough and things seem to kind of close in on you and it doesn't seem like you're making any headway spiritually or any other way, you need to understand that there's power in the name of the Lord Jesus. The name Jesus can make the devils tremble. The name of Jesus can open up doors. Philippians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 5. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Bible tells me that the name of Jesus gets people's attention in heaven even. You want the Father's attention? Talk to Him in Jesus' name. You know, if I were to take a check on your bank account and take it to the bank and say, I want all the money that's in the account, they'd look at that check and they'd say, but nobody has signed it. They say, well, I'll sign it. And they say, no, your signature is not on the signature card. It wouldn't be any good. Well, I'll get this person to sign it. No, it's not. No, there's only one person. The person who owns the account has to sign it. And I'm here to tell you, when you want something from the bank of heaven, you better have Jesus sign the check. Amen. And when you come in Jesus' name, there's power that there is nowhere else. Amen. And it reminds us of the goodness of God when we resubmit ourselves to Him and rededicate ourselves to Him and reassure Him that we love Him and know He loves us, even when it doesn't seem like He's proven it day by day. Verse number 6. In our text simply says we are to humble ourselves Verse number 6 says, "For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me." We need to understand there needs to be this humble acknowledgement that I am powerless to change this situation. In our songbook, we have a song. Fact is, if you promise you'll put it down when we get finished with this song, you can pick it up. If you're going to continue to read it, then leave it lay. Amen. Hymn number 328. 328. Listen to what the songwriter said. I think the songwriter understood some of these things that we're trying to get across to you today. It says, "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come." Listen to me. "Hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." I think tonight or today that every one of our lives would be greatly improved if that was our prayer in Jesus' name. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. How we need to humbly acknowledge our own powerlessness to win over some things. David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, going up against a giant, the nuclear power of his time, said simply this, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." Joseph in Genesis chapter 41 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And Daniel in chapter 2 and verse number 28 says, "But there is a God in heaven which revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what is in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." You see, men who have struggled, men who have accomplished great things for God have sooner or later, sometime or another in their life, come to a place where they said, if anything good spiritually is going to happen in my life, it's going to be because God does it. It's not going to be because of some seminar I go to or some other thing I go to. It's going to be because I humble myself and God takes over in my life. Verse number 8, he tells us something I think we all ought to listen to. He says, "In God we boast all the day long." It's a sad thing to meet with God's people, and God has done some miraculous thing in their life, and they don't credit Him for any of that. The glory is theirs. The story is theirs. And here the Bible simply says he said, "I trust not in my bow, neither my sword shall save me." He said in verse number 8, I'm sorry, I'm getting out of place here. "In God we boast all the day long." How long has it been since you just went on a boasting spree for the Lord Jesus? You know, every once in a while I'll turn on my phone and be watching some of the news on there and getting caught up on some things, and it'll show some guy holding a fish like this. I've held fish like that too, little ones on each finger. I'm talking about holding a big fish like this. New record, never caught a fish this big before. You know, I'm sure they tell everybody. I mean, they make news articles of it. How long has it been since you made a big deal out of Jesus saving you? How long has it been since you made a big deal out of Jesus doing something great in your life? Save someone that you love, raise someone from a hospital bed, or gave you testimony that he took them home to glory, and you're certain to meet him up there someday. How long has it been since you just boasted all the day long in Jesus? Oh, we complain about high gas prices, and we complain about engines that gobble up all this high-priced gasoline, and we talk about this, and we talk about that, and we complain about this and complain about that. And the Bible says here that the way to victory is, it says, in God we boast all the day long. How long has it been since you boasted about Jesus for 15 minutes? We come and we sing, and most of our songs, many of our songs, let me say, many of our songs are songs of praising the Lord, bragging about what Jesus has done, bragging about what God can do. And then he says, and we praise thy name forever. And again, the name of Jesus, praise that name. And then there's that word Selah. That means stop and think about that for a while. You know, I'm convinced that when it seems like God is not answering, if we just follow this recipe, I think we'd find some reasons for what is happening that perhaps would be a great help to us. We need to understand, according to the last verse of this chapter, verse number 26, arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Listen, for a child of God, the Bible says, what should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But what would a man give in exchange for his soul? I believe that having the Lord Jesus Christ is of far more value than owning the entire world. But what we have is from God's mercy. If it wasn't for God's mercy, he had opened up the floors of this building today and opened up the earth beneath it and drop us all into hell, just like he did in the Old Testament. Close it up, leave no evidence of us around anywhere. But God is merciful, and God is good, and God is wonderful, and God is great. The Bible says in Psalms 103 and verse number 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. In the book of Job, chapter 1 and verse number 8, and chapter 2 and verse number 3, God asked the question, hast thou considered my servant Job? You know, there was a time when it seemed like Job had no prayers answered. Things were going bad. I mean, he lost 10 children all at one time. He lost his wealth, he lost his health, he lost the respect of his wife. It just seemed like nothing was happening right. And God said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Maybe this dullness, this lull, this time of, it seems like God's not hearing, nor is God caring, it seems. Maybe the Lord's getting ready to do something really great. And him and the devil maybe are fighting about something, and he brings up your name. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if in heaven we see an addition to the book of Job? And God says, put that name in there, and put that name in there, and put that name in there, and put that name in there. Wouldn't it be something if we saw our name in there and saw a line through it, and God said, well, I tried you, but you gave up. I'm here to tell you that God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hast thou considered my servant Job? Now listen to what Job says. The Bible says, his wife said to him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And Job said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. You know, when you get down in the dumps and you decide to doubt God, and you decide God's not answering and God's not real and God hasn't done what you want him to do, so kick God to the side and I'm going to go do what I want to do, you're talking like one of those foolish women that Job talked about here. Notice what else he says. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Another place it says he never charged God foolishly. To say that God doesn't care because God doesn't do what we want him to do in a specific time is a foolish thing. Is a foolish thing. God will keep every promise that God has ever made. And God will keep any date that he's ever made. But God's going to work on His schedule and not necessarily ours. And when it seems like God is the quietest, we need to understand that God may be getting ready to do the greatest work in our lives that He's ever done. And we need to get ourselves busy and reclaim Him as our King and submit ourselves to His leadership, tell Him we know He hasn't done anything wrong, humble ourselves, telling Him we don't have the power to do these things. God, if You don't do it, it can't be done. And then just understand that we have His mercy. And His mercy is a greater benefit to us than owning Taj Mahal, Buckingham Palace, the White House, and all the riches that go with all those positions. To know Jesus, is to have life, to have eternal life, to have the ability to have peace in this present life. If we don't have that peace, we either don't know Him or we're not right with Him. One of those two. God help us today to put Jesus in His proper place, to understand He came down, humbled Himself, gave His life for us. He was resurrected. He ascended back to the right hand of God the Father. And we're not supposed to bring Him down. We're supposed to lift Him up. Exalt Him. If we exalt Him, He'll exalt us. I promise you, He will. Let's bow our heads, please.